You'll all die tonight. All facing Judgment Day. All going to hell. Facing judgment. Facing, gloomy darkness. Lake of fire. But it's a choice we all have to make. Hell or heaven. Eternal condemnation or eternal hope. Okay. Enough scary things here. Well, this is probably not a good way to meet you all online, as a guest speaker. I'd good to spoke to each all of you at your church physically earlier this year. It was February, and good to meet you online. I intentionally leave a little bit facial hair, just try to be as cool as Pastor Eugene, but of course can't compare. I tried. All right, anyways, that's enough icebreakers here. Greeting from Richmond Pacific Grace to the brothers and sisters and the friends at Burnaby PG. Yeah, good to speak to preach the words of God online. Hell is a topic that I want to cover today. Hell is real. But we have undaunted hope. And today, the passage, let's go to the passage that we have today about hell. I'm going to cover Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Later on, I will also cover 2 Peter's. But let me read the words of God to you. All right? Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Books, plural. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is real. But let's study these words of God about hell. Now, part of it describes here there's a lake of fire, book of life. So the first question, let's ask some questions first. Who? Hell is real, but for who? All right? It says right, verse 15, it says, is anyone whose name not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. All right? So two questions raised from this simple verse. Verse 15, what is the book of life? And second question, what is the lake of fire? What's the book of life? Book of life. Book of life is like a God's ledger, this accounting thing, God's ledger for all those people. And for the believers, to be exact. It's for those born-again Christians, for those who's born again and their names are written down on the book of life. It's written down so that it's on this, it's kind of like a iCloud or Google Drive. It's up there. God has it written down. And anyone whose name not on that book will be thrown away, will be thrown to the lake of fire. What's the lake of fire then? lake of fire is the, you know, is a oxymoronic picture. It's lake and fire, right? Lake and fire. Lake of fire is the same one for death, for devil, for his messengers. Matthew 25:41, it says that Jesus said, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for devil and his angels.'" So it's for them. It's, there's an unquenchable fire. Wow, I mean, just try to picture this, right? Just try to picture this unquenchable fire. Imagine those people whose name's not there, and our loved ones, those who we care, and even maybe your own soul into this eternal fire. Just imagine such a devastating picture. And then you may say, "Pastor William, please do not talk about this. Please, can we not talk about this?" You may, in your mind, you may say, "No, I don't. Can you just talk about, Pastor William, can you just talk about some fluffy, happy stuff?" Sorry, I must tell you that upfront, Christian faith is not some happy, fluffy stuff. It's not some happy, fluffy religion. It will be very unloving if I don't talk about it. It will be very unloving and caring if I don't talk about this, how hell is real. It's true, not many people talk about, not many preachers talk about this these days. Not many people, even if someone talks about, even if they do talk about hell and mentioning and saying that people, there are people going to hell, they water it down. They make hell sounds so not so miserable. No fire, no Satan. Oh, sorry, your loved one just passed away. Oh, no worries. She or he is in a better place, in better, you know, hands. I totally cannot accept the gospel got watered down. I mean, please don't make the Bible and hell and Satan, you know, as described in the Bible, as fluffy and as adorable, right? Just like, you know, Satan and Hello Kitty don't match. Satan and Barbie don't match. Okay? About a year and a bit ago, year and a half ago, I led a team to Northern Thailand. It was the Christmas turn of the new year, and to Northern Thailand. And on our way back, we had a stopover in Bangkok, and it was right on December 31st, the night of December 31st, 11 something p.m. So we had, I think we had like 8 hours, 6 hours, I forgot, layover. So we decided to went to the town, went to the city, you know, get some street foods, and I mean, we work so hard, so let's have a couple hours, half a day break. Well, not even half a day, but anyways, so it was New Year's Eve, right? December 31st. So we went to probably not downtown, but the town. And then as we were taking a shuttle, I mean the subway, and then getting closer to the heart of that area, as we walk along, and then we saw more and more people. We noticed there are more and more parties, and quite a number of girls, they have this devil horns, right, on their head, and celebrating, and about to say Happy New Year, that kind of things, right? I felt sad for this city.
Yeah, I mean they are missing the gospel, and not just missing the gospel. They are thinking, oh, this is cute, this is fun. There's devil horns. I wouldn't be surprised some even have some tails. I mean, it's not cute. I mean, why? I mean, is it? This is might be part in the culture, right? Dressing up with devil's horns. So I will not dress up the doctrine of hell in a Hello Kitty outfit. Okay, I will not. The fact is, hell is a scary place. Who's in hell? Devil, death, Hades, and also those names not written in the Book of Life. Hell is real, and it will be very unloving if I don't talk about it. Second question that we have is when? When do people go to hell? When will it happen? As the verse says, tells us that the judgment happens, I mean, from Revelation 20, right? It tells us that how it happens when the judgment day comes. And it is for eternity. The lake of fire is eternal. It says the death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, right? And that's the second death. And Matthew 25, 46, and this will go away into eternal punishment. Eternal, okay? Matthew 25, 46. And Revelation 20, verse 10, it says the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophets were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Torment around the clock for ages without end. That's how the Message translation says. Around the clock without end. To understand hell as a fire, we need a little bit background. Hell can be translated to Gehenna in the Greek. It's a Greek from the Hebrew phrase that means Valley of Hinnom. Valley of Hinnom, which is a valley southwest of Jerusalem. In this place, Canaanites worshipped Baal by sacrificing children in a fire that was burning continuously. And during Jesus' times, the Valley of Hinnom was used as a garbage dump of Jerusalem garbage. I mean, the city, the garbage from the city. And dead bodies of animals, executed criminals, all this will be thrown to that area. Garbage, dead animals, and executed criminals will be thrown on this southwest corner, southwest side of Jerusalem, burning and burning. To consume all these fires will burn continuously, nonstop. And when wind blew from that direction over the city, you can picture, right? The smell, the smoke. It'll be very awful. It'll be very evident. And at nighttime, there'll be wild dogs howling as they fought over the garbage or the meat. Jesus used this awful scene to help the audience to understand. Continuous fire. Awful smell, the sound howling, and the smell and the the picture. So in a sense, hell is a cosmic garbage dump. Gehenna was the garbage dump for the city, right? So hell here is the cosmic garbage dump. I mean, again, I'm not going to Hello Kitty up the duration of hell. Is hell eternal? Yes, it is. Are the fires without end? Yes, they are. Is it a pleasant to talk about it? No, not at all. It's not a pleasant doctrine to talk about. Because hell is real. It will be very unloving if I don't talk about hell. If I don't talk about the reality of hell. It's eternal. Third question. Doing what? What would they be doing there? I mean, we know that hell is an awful place, eternal place, but eternal, what would they be doing? I don't know exactly, except the fact that they will be pain and torment. Luke 16:23-26. That's a story that Jesus used to describe Abraham and Lazarus. And there's some description there. Of course, this is like a parable, right? I'm in agony, as I underlined. Luke 16:23-26, it says, I'm in agony in this fire. And there's a chasm set between us. So it's pain, it's agony, and also there's a gap, a total separation from God. That's the parable of the story of Lazarus here. Agony and total separation. It's pain. It's a very agony place. If you pay attention to the news, 11:30 out of Vancouver local news that on Monday just reported, since the pandemic restrictions start in mid-March, the critical injury and death investigation upped 16%. The critical injury and death of children and teens are up 16%. Education minister, our education, provincial education minister, Rob Fleming, said this, quote unquote, we know that there's a lot of pain out there happening to many households. I mean, we've been on, this quarantine for 3 months now, right? Self-isolation, 3 months. We ask people to stay home. I mean, it's true that BC has been doing quite well. But since the pandemic started, I also keep thinking and also listening to news and imagining, it's blessed. I have a place to call home. But there are kids, there are vulnerables, there are women who got abused. To them, was home. Home is a place of pain. Home is a place that, okay, not like a fire, but in a way to them is agony. It's hell. Isaiah 38:18, it says, for the grave cannot praise you, death cannot sing your praises, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. I mean, hell is such a devastating place. No praising cannot hope for your faithfulness. You may think, okay, no praising, no singing worship songs, what's a big deal? What's a big deal? Let me remind you, our whole purpose, the ultimate purpose of Christ's followers is to glorify, is to praise, is to bring glory to God. I always tell my church that, that whenever I, let's say I have a sore throat, I cannot sing on a Sunday. or something happened, I cannot, worship God on a Sunday. I always feel like as if I'm holding my breath. I'm stopped from breathing, put it this way. I mean, I can hold it for maybe one time, two, but if I hold it for too long, I'll feel suffocated. I cannot praise God. I will feel suffocated. I cannot worship God. To no praises, no glorifying God. To me, that's total ripping off. And if we cannot praise God, and for eternity, forever and ever, that is totally very painful to me, to our ultimate purpose, because our God is such an awesome God. So again, I'll be very unloving if I don't tell you the reality of hell. God's judgment cannot be avoided. That's a fact. God's judgment cannot be avoided. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 10. It says, God did not even spare his angels when they sinned. God did not ever even spare the bad angels. Verse 4. And verse 5. The ungodly people. He brought a flood upon the world of ungodly. Even the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, right? And to ashes he condemned them, to extinction. All this punishment, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6 of 2 Peter chapter 2. This represents the people who have corrupted desires, and this is the wrath of God on the people. God's judgment cannot be avoided. God's judgment is, he is judging all the bad guys. All the bad guys, punishing them forever, extinction, ungodly, all unto them. But at the same time, it says here, 2 Peter chapter 2, he will also, verse 9, he'll also knows how to rescue the godly from the trials. I mean, it says right there, right? If he rescues righteous lot who are greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. God has chosen those people, and he will surely protect them till the end. He will surely protect them till the end. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, it says that I will never blot his name out of the book of life. For those God has chosen, written in the book of life, he will never wipe out, erase, scratch it off. He will never blot out our names. That's the promise. That's a promise. God has made his promise again and again and again and again in the Bible that he will protect, that he will preserve us. It's a lifetime guarantee there. Let's hold on to this, all right? He'll never blot out our names from the book of life. I suppose most of you have watched Toy Story. I love Toy Story. Just not the latest one, not as much. I used to be a big fan of Pixar. But anyways, yeah, I love Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2. Now, this picture here of Woody, of Woody's boots. This is about and when Woody and Buzz, they went through, throughout the Toy Story, Woody and Buzz went through so many adventures. And there are times they are scared, they are lost, they wonder if Andy still remembers them, still cares for them. And whenever they are in doubt, they look at their feet to be reminded of Andy's commitment to them. If my memory is correct, there was one time Woody was really unsure, and then Buzz reminded, look at the bottom of your foot. Andy has written down his name at the bottom of each toy's foot. This is a mark of the security. This is a seal. Now, go ahead. You're doing online, okay? So check the bottom of your feet, or your slippers, or your shoes. I mean, it's online. No one really knows what you're doing, right? So, no, of course that's my man. But what my point is, you have been your name. I mean, God has given us a seal, an assurance. People who are born again, people who are, you are his children, you are, have been marked. But the Bible tells us again and again and again that we have the seal, we have the deposit. Ephesians 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Timothy 2. Just like Woody, the bottom of our shoes are marked. So no worries, no doubts that born again Christians, if anything happens to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever, or COVID, whatever, if you're scared of hell, if you're scared of COVID, if you're scared, you have the seal. You have this seal. You are on, your name is on the book of life. Remember Christ's love. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But if your name is not on the book of life, that's a totally different story. If your name is not on that book of life, it's not on that God's iCloud, that's a totally different story. Because again, hell is real. For me, I'm not going to hell. I know I'm not going to hell. And let us be that serious about it. Do you? It's your choice. I mean, ask yourself, have you met Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord, your Savior? Have you confessed and let Him wash your and cleanse your sins away, and then trusting Him as the Son of God, the only Son of God who died on the cross for you and washed away your sins? And He did not just die. Again, He also resurrected. And His resurrection proved that He is the Son of God. He is the real one. And that He has overcome death already. So we need not scare of death. Because the one we trust, the one we count on, the one we call Lord, we call Master, He has already overcome. And because of that, we are His children. We are born again. We are the children of God. And our name is on the book of life. If your name, again, if your name is not on the book of life, you really have to pay attention to this life or death, eternal condemnation or eternal hope decision. This is an eternal question. And then for an eternal question can only be solved by the eternal God. So we got to make a choice. If you or someone you love that is not on the book of life, is there someone you really want them to be in the book of life? Let me pray for you. But I give thanks that about this doctrine of hell, it's true, it's real, it's something that we need to be that serious about. And Lord, so please teach us and tell us and show us how we can be serious about our eternal state. How for for those who are in you already, how we can hold on to this assurance. And also be mindful and caring about those whose names not on the Book of Life, those loved ones and our best friends, our grandparents or our cousins. Or Lord, they need you. They need you. They need to see this hope. They need to live out of fear, be fear-free. So give us a courage, Lord. Give us a courage to help to bring forth your gospel, to bring this peace to them. And once again, Lord, may you strengthen us to live with this assurance, because our names are written on the Book of Life as we have confessed you are Lord. So help us, Lord, every single day we live truly, honestly, surrendering to you as the Lord of our life. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.